Bijurin. Let's learn some of these halachas. I didn't prepare very much, so you can elaborate as you wish. Let's see what it says here. Mitzvah say I'll call echad miyishol lichtoiv loy sefer tar mishaloi. There's a mitzvah de oiraisa. Okay, these are all the laws in the Yoreh. These are laws in Shulchan Aruch. Aruch HaShulchan, obviously, he summarizes the halachas. He brings in the Ikar Mefarshim. He says his own chidushim, and here he says that there's an mitzvah deraisa on every single person to write his own sefer Torah, lichtav loy sefer Torah, mishaloi. Mitzvah saseh. Okay, it's the last mitzvah in the Torah. V'ata kislu lochem es hashira hazois v'lamida es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem. Now, even though it says the word shira, I'll just tell you, shira, what does the word shira refer to? Rashi says it refers to shiras hazinu. Problem is, you're not allowed to write just Shiras Hazinu on parchment without writing the rest of the Torah. So it's very bizarre.
You're not allowed to write just the Parashazinu?
You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to write any
Parashah. Yeah, I don't know why, but it's a very bizarre rule. And according to Rashi, the mitzvah deraisa is not primarily to write a Sefer Torah, it's to write Shiras Hazinu. And once you write Shiras Hazinu, you have no choice but to write the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Why is that like that? I don't know. Only Hazinu? What? Chumash Devar. And what about the rest of the Sefer Torah? It's not really clear. It's very bizarre. Now, that's a sheet according to Rashi. Other Rishonim disagree. They are of the opinion that when it says in the Pasuk, V'yata kisvut chabes sashira, it refers to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah is called the Shira. Any event, it's the last mitzvah of the Tayag mitzvah. I think in all of the Mamoine HaMitzvahs, you have all different versions of the Tayag mitzvahs. The Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs, and the Ramban, and the Hasogos of the Rambam. And you have the Smag, and the Smak, and the Sefer HaChinuch. If not mistaken, they all do count the mitzvah deraisa, the last mitzvah, the mitzvah of writing your own Sefer Torah. Many times you go to Achnos Sefer Torah and they talk about that it's their mitzvah. It's a mitzvah deraisa to commission a Sefer to make him your shliach. In fact, some people, when they commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, they go to him, they make him, you are my shliach, take a handkerchief, you are my agent in me fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa of Ksivas Sefer Torah. Let's go further. Even if a person has biyerusha a sefer Torah from his father, great grandfather, shenema v'yata kisvu lechem as hashira zos, kolaymar kisvu lechem Torah sheyesh b'shira zo. So it says, write a whole sefer Torah which has in it this shira. Lefi she'in koitz v'masa Torah parshiyos parshiyos. Once already, you have to write the Shiras Hazinu, they mainly have no choice but to write the entire Chamishei Chumshei Torah because of the prohibition to write parshios, just to write little sections. Where is the prohibition to write sections? I don't know, but somehow there's a tradition that you're not allowed to put on parchment parshios. V'iyef shalema da mitzvah hirak ala shira bilvad. Don't make the mistake and think that the mitzvah derives only to write Hazinu, d'hochi perusho, kislu lechem kol ha-Torah kula, ad gemar hashira, until the end of the shira sazinu, v'gam v'zoyis habracha nichleles b'chlal hashira. Now here you see in the Aruch HaShulchan, that's the beauty, always telling you chidushim, because there's another question. Since it says v'yato kislochem es hashira hazos, and you want to say this principle of parshios, that would only require you to write from bereshis through hazinu, but not V'zois HaBrocha. V'zois HaBrocha is already... What?
Still parashas.
So I don't know. But it says the word Hashira. The word Hashira has to count for something. We're telling you when you come to an end. So what's the Chiddush? So he says that V'gam V'zois HaBrocha Nechlas B'chal Hashira V'nira D'kamash Mulan D'im Loi Kein Hayisi Oimer D'ein HaMitzvah B'ksiva Rat Rak Ad Hazinu Shebisham Gemar HaMitzvah. That's where the last mitzvah is over. What's the logic why V'zois HaBrocha is not necessary? Because you have to write the mitzvahs. So when do the mitzvahs come to an end? V'ata kisvu lechem. That's Hazinu. V'hatoi chochos. And the Musar. Aval mehazinu at soifa ein sham rak divrei nevua be asidos kamash mulan the tzarech lichlev at soifa mamish ulechein amar kisvu lechem afilu hashira hazos. And he's saying here again the words he writes over here is that the gamzos habracha, going back up a few lines, these are the really very insightful words of the Aruch HaShulchan. The zos habracha nichleles bichlal hashira. So there's hazinu, and there is the zos habracha. It's really all the same. It's not written in that form, right? It's not written like it's a shira. It's written in one column, but the zos habracha is included in the words of shira. Okay, the sefer Torah shechasa ois achas psula. All the halacha that the sefer is missing even one letter. Even one letter is psula. Is invalid. Okay, just to point out the yisod of this halach is that even if a person has Torah from his father, his grandfather, you have to write your own Sefer Torah. And the Bali Musar learned from that concept is that just because Torah is not a Yerusha, just because a person has big yichus, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather were all outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, there's no guarantee that you will be successful. Torah is... it's not Birusha. A person has to earn his own keep in the Chelik of Torah, and that is parallel by the Halacha. Just because you have a Sefer Torah from your father or from your grandfather, so I have a Sefer Torah to read from every Shabbos. It doesn't matter. You have to write your own Sefer Torah. Every person has their own Chiddush. Every person, just like no two people look alike, no two people think alike. Every person, their appreciation, their understanding of a mitzvah is unique. We all know that handwriting is unique. There are no two people who write who have the same identical handwriting. Think about it, when you write a Sefer Torah, if every person would learn how to write Safra, so write a Sefer Torah, there will be no two Sefer Torah in the entire world that are identical. And in the experts who are able to read into handwriting, you see the person's yitchunas hanefesh. It's a very big skill. Handwriting. I know someone told me in Lakewood they brought down an expert. They do this for a simcha. People always looking to give entertainment at these fancy weddings, a bar mitzvah. So they brought in a handwriting expert. And everyone would come over to the table that were during the dancing, and you write a few words, you write your name.
What? Check out the handwriting of each.
Who knows? I don't know. So there was an expert.
In they can write in English?
He didn't say it was English.
Whatever it is, they write, and the expert he looks at your handwriting and he writes comments. And of course, the extra is only paid to write positive things, not to say negative things. I know this from first hand that there is a principal, there's a school. No, the school actually is located here in Brooklyn. It's located here in Brooklyn, and they brought down this expert. I don't know for what purpose. And they had all the students wrote things, and they gave it, and she wrote comments. And then when it was over, so this professional, she told the principal that there's something bothering her. There's one student. She's very disturbed, with her handwriting. And the principal should look into the family. Should look into the family to see what's going on. And Kachava, she made some inquiries into the situation, and it was a horrible situation. The child was in a broken home. People didn't know about it. Parents were not getting along. There was a lot of problems, and the child was suffering quite a bit. And they did whatever they can do to rectify the situation. But it was like, how did you know? Just from looking at someone's handwriting, you can really see all of. You can see there's a problem. Yeah, you have a chachma. It's a tremendous chachma. I always felt people tell me it's not true. That's the koyach of a kvittel. What do you do when you go write a kvittel? When you write a kvittel, the real way to write a kvittel is just write your name. You write down your name and that. You give the kvittel to the Rebbe. We don't have Rebbe say the Ruach HaKodesh like this, but it used to be you give the kvittel to the Rebbe. The Rebbe looks at the kvittel, and he right away, he knows everything. So I always felt that the Rebbe, a real Rebbe, a Ruach HaKodesh, has this koyach of understanding. There's a term for it.
Reading between the lines.
Knowing, understanding. You look at the person who wrote his name, you can see in the handwriting, you can see the Techunas HaNefesh, what's bothering the person.
But it wasn't a science.
It is a science.
That's not a science, it's a spiritual.
It's both. It's a combination of a science plus the spiritual component of the
but
two together.
You did went to the school. That was a science.
That was a science. That was purely a science. That was right. That's purely a science. There are books. You go to the library. Go online. There are books. There's a lot of stuff on this.
Recently, when Trump and Melania signed the book and by Bibi's and CNN,
yeah,
they analyzed the.
Who signed the book? Who?
Trump and Melania.
They signed their book, so they analyzed.
Yeah. And they analyzed.
They're always analyzing their body, their behavior, how they walk, how they hold hands, don't hold hands.
In Eretz Yisrael, graphology is a legitimate way.
What's it called?
Graphology. Is a legitimate way to pre-screen workers.
Okay, so you see.
They won't hire you unless you pass the. It's like a
poly. So, and when you add to this chachma, a spiritual component of being a very holy person and having a very high sensitivity to the Shem Kedusha, that was the koyach of a kvittel. That's, you don't go right today, but we like kvittel, whoever they write on your name, Zivuk Hogun, Refua Shalema, Parnasa. Or they write a Megillah, they write a Megillah exactly what they need, so the Rebbe should know exactly what I need, and the Rebbe should give a bracha for these specific purposes. That's how people write a kvittel today. But that's not the real way to write a kvittel. The traditional tradition of writing a kvittel is you just write down your name, and that's it. The Rebbe knows it all. Obviously, in the vowels. So I just want to add to that, when you write a Sefer Torah, it's the same thing. When you have a Sefer Torah from your father and your grandfather, in the handwriting of your father and your grandfather are his chidushim. You could understand the way he understood the pshat and the pasuk by seeing the way he wrote the pasuk. He wrote the pasuk bereishis bara elokim es hashman v'es haaretz. There are only a billion perushim in what it means, that what that pasuk means. You can see his insight into the pasuk in the way he wrote. I mean, this of course means that when he wrote the pasuk, he was thinking about the pasuk, and he was thinking today, you know, seifim just right. It's just a machine. They're just writing, you know, they're thinking about who knows what, and just, that's not, also not such a good idea.
Subconsciously.
But when you write a Sefer Torah, you're writing down the words of Torah, you're adding your personality, you're adding your insight into the parish of the Pasuk. Just like when a person lanes. When you lane, so there's some really good Balei Kriya, they bring the parish, they bring the laning to life.
Yeah.
When they're reading the Pasuk, wow, like you really feel like you're there. You're at Har Sinai. You're at Kriyas Yamsuf. What?
The staff, you can't change it any way. How can you put in personality?
You can. When you write, no, that's the fish. When you write, you can add personality. When you write letters, you add personality. So just because you have a Sefer Torah from your father and your grandfather, when you write the Sefer Torah, it's not going to be the same. Your handwriting is different. It's a new personality. It's a new personality that's going to be injected into your Maisek Siva.
Now, before the printing press, people actually would take the Torah out and they would sit and learn from the Torah.
Yes. Well, Torah Shebal Peh, you didn't even actually, you didn't read. Torah Shebal Peh, there were no Gemaras. Everything was given over oral. You're not even allowed to. Dvarm Shebal Peh, Iyata Rishai L'chosfam. You're not even allowed to put into writing. But that changed in the time of Ezra. That already changed this way, way back. Everything was put into writing because we can't live like that.
If everyone wrote a Torah, everyone would have their own Torah.
Right.
It wouldn't be used that much.
What?
They would use their own Torah to learn.
Use your own Torah.
Okay, so now we have a printing press. That's a different question. Some people say that you can be used to dismiss.
Oh, by buying svar. Well, some say that you're right. They'll come down. All I would say doesn't apply.
99%. A sofa, it's a safer Torah.
Yeah.
Where it's just your personality.
It's not. All of these things, I'm just telling, these are all drush. This all drush in the words of Chazal that even though you have from your father, you have to write a Sefer Torah. Today you can't write a Sefer Torah. Today you have to go and you have to do it in a way that's not the ideal way. You have to hire someone to write it for you. You make him your shliach and he writes it for you. Even that you don't do today, because who could afford to go spend $50,000 on a Sefer Torah? So today you make him by buying Sarm. You buy a Gemara. That's also a token fulfillment of the mitzvah of the Okay, so we're not Mekayim this with perfection. Who can be Mekayim this today with perfection? Today this we do and the best that we can do, but you have to still appreciate the depth of what these halachas really mean in the ideal sense. A person wants to be cheap. I don't want to go through the effort of writing the Sefer Torah myself, I'll just buy it. money, I'll buy this Sefer Torah, go to the street and go buy Sefer Torah. That's not the way to do a mitzvah. That's like kechoytef mitzvah ben ashok. That's like you're grabbing a mitzvah. A chatifa, that's a very unsophisticated way to make mekayim a mitzvah. Kosvu ma kosvay. If you go through the effort of actually writing the letters of the Sefer Torah, how many letters are in the Sefer Torah? 304,885. Okay, the Chazal say there are 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. So how could they be so off? How could they be so off from 600,000? We'll discuss in a moment. Kasu malal of kilu ki ilu kilu min harsinai. The person who actually writes the Sefer Torah word for word as if he was coming from harsinai. V'miniach ois achas. And if he gia, here's the other. This is the minute why everyone writes a letter in the Sefer Torah by Achnas Sefer Torah. Then he gia ois achas. If you correct or you add your little dot even to one letter, male alav ki ilu kasvay. It's as if you wrote the entire Sefer Torah. Uperish Rashi b'chaytiv mitzvah. Umitzvah ovat. If a person grabs a mitzvah, listen, you did the mitzvah, you get credit. Avali kosav. If you wrote it yourself, have a mitzvah yisera tfei. That's more of an enhancement. Adkan l'shon v'toisvus kosu im higia ois achas v'sevet Torah shalokach menashuk. If you are higia one letter from a sevet Torah which you purchased from the street, lo nechshav oid kichoytev mitzvah. So Toisvus learns that this is an addition. This is a novel pshat in the Gemara. That when it says the person is magia, it means yimagia a sevet Torah that you purchase from the street. I can't go write the whole Sefer Torah. I go into the street, I buy the Sefer Torah, so now I'm begeder a choytef, but now when I go and I analyze it and I correct and I add one little dot to the Sefer Torah, I've upgraded the chatifa to the milah as if I actually was mekabel the Torah from the Har Sinai.
The Sofer writes it for someone else as a
shliach.
Does he get credit himself?
The Sofer himself? Not necessarily. I mean, he's a shliach. He's involved in writing
really
the Sefer Torah.
Even though he wrote the Torah,
he's involved in a Dover Sheva Kedusha. I mean, he's involved in holy work. He's involved in holy work. So it's obviously there's something there. But to say that it's his mitzvah, he's not paying. It's doing it for parnasa. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's not an easy parnasa. It's not an easy parnasa to be a sefer. They don't make a lot of money. It takes a sefer today an average of at least 6 months. You're not going to find a sefer who can write a sefer Torah today in less than 6 months. It doesn't exist. Full time. And the big money... What?
They can't write full time. It's very hard to write full time.
Some of them do. Why? Some of them do. Some of them enjoy it. Some of them enjoy it. The big money is in tefillin. Tefillin, that's where the big money is. The good sefer, they make a parnasa by writing tefillin. Because that's much harder. That's much harder, and they get a small.
They make a mistake.
It's possible, so they're able to charge a lot of money. They charge a lot of money. But writing a Sefer Torah or a Sefer Torah, it's not that profitable.
You have 10 Sefer and everyone writing a different...
No, then you see the change of handwriting.
What?
People don't want that.
They don't want a change of handwriting. They want you.
Okay, let's go further. Mitzvah over Avli Kosav, have a mitzvah yisrev tfei ad kaan l'shon. V'toysvitz kosu imigia oisachas m'sefer Torah shalokim en ashuk lo nechshav goyim kichoytev mitzvah shohitza etzlach averoi ba'avera shihi ma'ay. Lo nechshav goyim kichoytev mitzvah shohitza etzlach averoi. It's not called because now you have a Sefer Torah that was incorrect. It's an Avera to have in your possession Sefer Torah that has mistakes. Because a person now can go and learn the wrong thing from the Sefer Torah, and by you correcting it, when you go and you make a correction, so then it's as if you wrote the entire Sefer Torah because you've taken a Sefer Torah that is a michshal, that is a stumbling block for other people. Ad kan l'shanei. V'lomadnu midivri Rabbeinu Seinu, the gam belokech Sefer Torah, yotzei the mitzvah specific Sefer Torah. We have learned from Chazal that if you purchase Sefer Torah, you also become the mitzvah. Ela shebeksiva have a mitzvah yisera tfei. V'mihiniya higia isachas. If you correct one letter, have a kikosvai, mamish. Ulefizeh, b'yicholas lotzei, sidei choyvas mitzvah zu b'kniya Sefer Torah. And therefore, a person today, b'zman hazeh, is able to fulfill this mitzvah by purchasing a Sefer Torah from the market and making a correction or eating some ink, then you will certainly have fulfilled the ikar of this mitzvah. Timahani, Here we go to the Aruch HaShulchan's own opinions. I am disturbed. Al Rabbeinu HaRamah, Shekosav, Sochar loy soifer lichtav lo sefer Torah, oy shekono vuhu hoya muter, vihi giyoy harei ze ki'ilu kosvay. If a person hires a soifer, commissions a soifer Torah, sefer Torah, and there was a mistake, and the buyer corrects it, then we apply the principle, it's as if you have written the Sefer Torah yourself. Aval, but Ramah, it's mash, and Ramah, aval lukocho, ikach. Let's say you purchase it the way it is. Velohi gia by davar, and you do not make any correction. Have kechoytef mitzvah ben ashok. Ve'ena yoytze bezeh adkan l'shoynoi. These are the words of the Ramah. You have not fulfilled your obligation. According to the Ramah, if a person just even commissions the Sefer Torah and there are no mistakes, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. The hiddur.
Assume there are no mistakes until they find a mistake.
Let's see what he says. Let's see.
It's okay, but there is a mistake.
And then you correct the mistake, so then you upgrade the mitzvah from a choytef, being someone who grabs a mitzvah, to a person that's makabalit mehar sinai. Ad kan l'shoyne, minolei loy ma'sheinu yoytze b'zeh. The chol horisham kasuk rashi v'toysveska, he doesn't really explain. He just says, according to Rashi and Tosfos, according to them, it's mashma that a person commissions a sefer Torah, not a mistake. According to Rashi and Tosfos, I think what he means is that even if you just add some ink, you just participate to some degree in the running of a sefer Torah, then you get this reward of as if you were mekabel the Torah mehar Sinai. According to Tosfos seems to say is that's not enough. You either have to write it from start, from the very beginning, or if you only want to go add ink, it has to be in a situation where there was a mistake. So when there's a mistake, so that is an avla. You're not allowed to have in your possession something which can be a stumbling block for someone else. So when you correct, but let's say there is no mistake, it was computer checked, and the Sefer Torah is perfect, according to the Ramah, according to Tosfos, you do not get the full-fledged reward of, as if, because you bought it. And buying it alone, giving money alone, without going through the effort of correcting it, is begeder choytef mitzvah. You're grabbing a mitzvah. You have to go through the extra effort of making sure that there are no mistakes. So maybe Bizman Azam, I'm just thinking out loud.
You can usually allow a couple of psukim at the end.
Right, that's another thing. But let's say maybe Bizman Hazer, we all know you buy a Sefer Torah today, and it's a halacha, we'll discuss later on, you have to have it checked. That is an additional expense. Okay, yeah, it's an additional expense to have the Sefer Torah checked. According to halacha, you have to have it checked. The Rambam says three times. Someone has to read through the Sefer Torah from beginning to end three times. It's a very big business in Eretz Yisrael to be a magia to do this. There are different quality levels of checking the Sefer Torah. And the poskim said that if you have a computer checked, you only have to have it checked by a human being once. I don't know why you have that distinction. If it's done by a computer, then that already counts for two people. And you still need a person to read to the Sefer Torah from beginning to end. I was told by a Sefer that the average Sefer makes when they finish a Sefer Torah and they present it, there's an average of 30 spelling mistakes. That's what I was told. 30 spelling mistakes. And the people who are experts, to be shocked, the people who know their parnasa, the people who they have minds, they're very incredible minds, and my yes, can probably do this. Go through the Sefer Torah like this. I know Ravetsky's son, Moshe, so he was once learning in the Yomuzel Avenue J, from a brand new Sefer Torah, and he found a mistake. He found the spelling, the missing Vav, Mole Vachasa. And like, how did you know? No one would pick this up. And I brought the Sefer Torah to the Sofer to have it corrected. And he was, I remember his expression, how did a Baal Kriya pick this up?
Well,
he never his life saw and had this experience where Baal Kriya, just by reading the parasha, can detect that there's a missing vav on the spot. The Sefer Torah was not computer checked. It was not computer checked. This was before it was a pretty new Sefer Torah, but it was not computer checked. We then wanted to have a computer checked, but no one wanted to give the money. The computer, have a computer check that costs at least $500.
Yeah,
at least, maybe even more. Maybe by now it's only $1,000. You have to photocopy the whole Sefer Torah, and then you have to pay, you know, the people to do it. You know, it's a parnasa. It's $1,000 process. So the shul didn't have the money to have a computer check. But today, I don't believe today they release on the market a Sefer Torah that is not computer checked. But even with the computer check, you have to have a regular person check the Sefer Torah. A Sefer makes an average of 30 spelling mistakes. And when you have someone check it, someone checks it, the experts, they'll find 29. They're very good. They're very good, they'll find 29. But they'll always miss one. They'll always miss one. And that's why you need the computer. What? Three times. He's supposed to have it checked, read through by a Sefer three times.
Things have to be corrected to make sure.
Yeah.
It means the Sefer is possible.
Yes.
It's correct.
Absolutely. The Sefer is possible until it's corrected. Absolutely. And you're not allowed to learn from it until it's corrected. So maybe what it means, I'm just thinking out loud, is that today it says if you buy a Sefer Torah from the Shuk according to the Ramah, it's Kechotef Mitzvah. He follows Sheet of Tosfos. That it's, if you just buy it, even though you spend so much money, even if you add some ink, like you go to the Hachnas Sefer Torah and you add some ink, that's you're not correcting anything. But if you go through the expense of making sure there are no mistakes, right? And so you pay for the computer checking, which is another $1,000. You pay for all of the corrections. That l'chayra upgrades your mitzvah, even according to Tosfos, from being choyte for mitzvah to being mekayim the mitzvah. The oifan muhudar, as if you were makabel the Sefer Torah from Har Sinai. Okay, let's go further. What?
Reverend Bensonhurst, the word was mimenu.
Yeah.
With a vav.
Yeah.
And the Rebbe always says e, so mimeni.
Mimeni with the yud.
With the yud.
With the yud, it's a mistake.
It's
wow.
Wrong. It has to be a vav.
Has to be a vav. It's a mistake. Yeah, I remember the Sefer. He once showed me. He showed me a Sefer Torah that was 100 years old, and it was read very often in the shul. And he showed me the computer. He showed me the Sefer Torah. The letter, the word kesef, money, kesef, chof. Samach Pei was spelled with a kuf. Kesef. So what? They used the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah was 100 years old. They used the Sefer Torah for many, many years. So they had it.
That week. That week you skip and you keep skipping.
They had, you know, Rav Shmuel was, Rav Shmuel,
Rav
Wozner. So he was nifty about a couple of years ago. He was 101 years old. So he was one of the biggest poskim in Eretz Yisrael in the world on Hilchos Stam, Sefer Torah Tilma Mezuzos. He was head of the Vada Mishmer Stam. He was very, very poskim. He was a big, big fan of the computers, of the checking. In fact, he poskim that he would not make a baracha on a Sefer Torah. They gave him an aliyah that was not computer checked. He says the Mitzvah said only 18% when they started doing the checking. When the computers became available, this goes back into the late 80s, and they started doing this, they found that only 18% of Sefer Torah were out without spelling mistakes. We're not talking about mistakes of letters being caught and connections and other shilas, letters not being, we're talking about basic spelling mistakes. 18% of Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh had no spelling mistakes. So he felt that you can't today, b'zman hazeh, make a brach on the Sefer Torah. Maybe in the previous generations people had minds where they were able to write a Sefer Torah with such perfection, there were no mistakes. But today we don't have that ability. We need the computer, and you can't make a bracha unless it's checked by a computer. That was his opinion. Not everyone passed. What?
Is that documented? There's no stamp around. I mean, how do they?
Today, do we know? No, you. What?
Certificate. You get a certificate. Sure.
But when it comes, say, well, today, well, it, well,
all
today.
Things. Even if you buy a McGill today, they'll give you a certificate.
Right, they don't check. They don't check computer. It's an expense. If to check, it's an additional expense. The Sefer make. Some of them do. Some of them do. The more expensive ones, because Sefer make very little money. Every little thing is more money, and the profits. The profits are very, very, very small. So if you don't have to have it checked, you're not going to have it checked. Megillas, the low end Megillas are not checked. Because if it's, there are mistakes, it doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't make a difference.
And you'll find the mistakes, and we'll correct when you find the mistake. The Sefer Torah, from what I've been told, is there doesn't exist today a Sefer Torah that's going to be sold on the market, or a new Sefer Torah will not happen today without being checked. That's part
well,
of that.
Part of the checking is they have certain pages, a copy so they can guarantee if Chas v'Chalil
it's stolen. It's stolen. They can identify who the sefer is.
It's called a passport for the sefer Torah, which is registered number. Where the cipher was, and the pages were...
The computer can recognize the handwriting. The computer, the technology is so sophisticated, they can look at the sefer, they can tell you who wrote the sefer Torah.
But the sefer writes, does he copy from another Torah?
Of course, no, he copies. They have special, guides. It's standardized. No, the guide is not wrong. They have, today it's been standardized. Yes. It used to be, in the olden days, every sefer did whatever they wanted. That's why I have some sefer Torah. We have to have 22 lines, 24 lines, 28 lines.
There's a joke about the original, the Tikkun Lekorim had tremendous amount of mistakes in there.
Maybe I'll bring in. They are guides. Today it's been standardized.
It's not standard. I had
a new Sefer Torah?
No, old Sefer Torah.
Old Sefer Torah.
You can't read it well because it's not according to the Tikkun.
It's not used to. It's not according to the Tikkun. Exactly. I know. It's not according to the Tikkun. But today, you're not going to be able to sell a Sefer Torah unless it's like the Tikkun. Who made the Tikkun? Somehow it evolved. The Chofetz Chaim Rishon, the Chofetz Chaim probably had the greatest impact on Sefer Torah Bizman Hazeh. The Tzuras HaOisiyos of all the new Sefer Torah of the last 50, 60 years are very different, but significantly different than the Tzuras HaOisiyos of this old Sefer Torah that came from Europe. Who's the one that made all these changes of the Tzuras?
It's the Mishnah. It's very different.
It's different. The Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura. He wrote in the Chelek Aleph in the back. He put out a little contrast called Mishnah Seifrim, where he goes through every single letter in the Aleph Beis and he describes exactly what it's supposed to look like.
Well, some Torahs is very clear to print. Some of them have the flourishes.
It's very hard to
read. I know, Chanami, but what exactly? There are many details in every single letter. A lot of these details were not applied in the old Sifrei Torah. And being the last 50 years, we have become a Mishnah Brura generation.
Yes.
So the Seferim today have adopted what the Mishnah Brura says. They didn't just write from the tradition what their father told them, what their grandfather told them. They follow the instructions of the Mishnah Brura. That has resulted that today the Tzuras HaOisiyos have a different character than they had in the old Sifrei Torah. And it's all to the credit of, it's amazing how far the reach of the Chofetz Chaim has gone. You can't imagine, every Sefer Torah today has the stamp of the Chofetz Chaim on it. It's amazing. Just amazing, amazing concept. Because before the Chofetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, that's not the way. They wrote letters. You look at a pay, you look at all the letters, even the Kotel Shaliyot. A lot of the old Sefer Torah, they were not so makbit on the kites of the Rabbeinu Tam. I have to show you the picture, the kites of the Rabbeinu Tam. They didn't have the kites of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Mishnah Berurah made a big fuss that if you don't have the kites of the Rabbeinu Tam, it's possible. So we're not so makbit to go past all the Sefer Torah, but today a Sefer wouldn't dare write a Yud without the Kodesh Shel Yud, the Rabbeinu Tam. The pace, they were all shover. I have my father's shul, all the Sefer Torah, the pace. It's called, Rabbi Mishnah says, it's an ois, it's a pay shover. Every single pay in the old Sefer Torah is written like with a zigzag. In order to, today, unheard of. Doesn't exist such a thing today. I have to show you what it looks like.
All
the if
it's
letters split or
chipped,
computer can pick that up.
So he brought in Rabbi, what was his name, Rabbi the cipher.
Michael,
he did a demonstration. So it depends on the sensitivity. It depends on the sensitivity if sometimes it can, sometimes it cannot. I had an incident, I lay a lot
of them identify something that
questionable. And you give it to the Sefer to ask, he makes a decision. I lay in this pair Shabbos, two Shabbos ago, and I, from a brand new Sefer Torah, I was the Baal Kriya, it was my week, in the rotation, and I lay, and I saw a shin. And to me it looked like the top of the shin was not connected to the bottom of the shin. To me it was, I didn't stop because I wasn't really sure. They finished the Aliyah. I just thought it was nothing. I opened up the Sefer Torah, Ben Gavra LeGavra, and I took the talus just to rub it. Because many times it's a speck of dust.
Yes.
It's dust, especially in the old Sefer Torah, the back of the parchment was coated with powder.
Yes.
It was very common, and when you go close to Sefer Torah, the powder covers the letters, and you think it's possible. You just take a talus and you wipe it, and it's perfect. So I thought it was nothing, and I took the talus, and I rubbed it, and it didn't go away. And I looked closer, and I say, you know, this is really a problem. And this never happened, because in the recent years, every time you land, everywhere is a new Sefer Torah. Never, I got nervous. So I called over the Rosh Yeshiva. I told him. So he says to me, this is not my thing. Don't ask me. This is not my thing. I said, still, come and look. So he came to look. He didn't really, you know. So he says, call over this one, call that one, then he called over the Hashra person. There was a Hashra person, a big Kama Chacham there in the audience, and he was called up to look, and everyone was looking, wow, what's going on? Getting into trouble over here, making the whole scene for nothing. And he looks and he says, it's okay. I was like, really? All right, I'm not my decision. I'm just a guest here. Fine. So we lane, we finished. So during the week, they called the cipher to come, and I was shocked to discover. Kostovitz says it was a speck of dust or something. I don't know what it was that basically got stuck to the letter. He took his razor and he flicked it up. He flicked it up, and it was fine. It was just something that got stuck to the letter itself. I saw it looked like the parchment, and I took the talus and I rubbed it very hard, and nothing went. So you never really know.
You can only do that with a new sefer.
What, to rub very hard? Well, it depends on how old they are. How old. Today, the technology, even the last couple of years, I know my brother got tefillin from my nephew, so he explained to me that even the last couple of years, there's new advances in technology where the parchment and the ink is different. The parchment and the ink that they're writing today, until and today, is not the same quality parchment and ink even 5-10 years ago.
It's a sixth of the size. It's not they spin it down.
But so they know how thin it is. Different advantage, but they're using new techniques, new technology in preparing the parchment.
After it's written, do they put a seal on it?
No, some of them they do. In the old Sefer Torah, they still do. When you give an old Sefer Torah to be restored, I know they did this in Young Israel, they had old Sefer Torah, they gave it to someone to restore. Basically, they check it for a few $1,000s. Instead of going buying a new Sefer Torah for $50,000, you don't have $50,000, you take an old Sefer Torah that's possible, and you give it to a Sefer, they specialize in this, and for $3,000-$4,000, they'll restore it. They'll go from beginning to end, and they'll check, and they're the parts that are wearing out, they'll fix up. And then, the thing that it's all they do, they spray a polyure, they send a polyure spray, and they spray it, and it seals it. They do this. I know they do this for sure. On the old Sefer Torah. Yeah. You gotta do this.
My shul gave away a few old Sefer Torah to a few Moshav in Eretz Yisrael, different ones. So it happened to be one of them gave away. So my son happened to be in Israel that year, and he ended up being in that Moshav.
Where they
at? The Sefer Torah.
So he recognized it.
He found a mistake the first week.
Found it. Are there a lot of different techniques, a lot of different things that go on in the world of Safras? Let's go further. Okay, let's go. Ois Dalit. Let's move it more. Ois Dalit. Zesh and Ispar, the Afilu and Nichloy Avoisa. Now, this is what we learned before. And we learned before that Afilu and Nichloy Avoisa, Mitzvah Lichta Mishaloy, Nirer Baru, the Im Avoisa of Loy Gamrua. What happens if a person passed down the Yerusha Sifter that's incomplete? Well, let's say the Sefer Torah that was passed down had mistakes. Vuhu tiknam, and the child, he concludes the Sefer Torah, or he fixes the errors. The yotso yidichayvaso, so certainly in that case, the child has full obligation. Deloy giriye, it's no worse. From this that we learned in the past halacha, that if you purchase Sefer Torah, and there's one letter that's missing, or it's a mistake, if you fix one letter, that's as if you wrote the entire Sefer Torah, so it's certainly no different if you receive Beirusha, a Sefer Torah that has errors, and you correct them. You are mekayim the mitzvah ba'oifan mechudar. V'reisi le'echa me'agedoylim shekosav shafil lo hinichu le'avaysav kesuva ela kol shuhu afilu teva achas. If they do not leave over you a Sefer Torah, ela kol shuhu afilu teva achas v'hu ishlima de'lo yotzei de'chayvasai, he sees that some disagree with this halacha. That if your forefathers leave over a Sefer Torah that's missing only one word, and you are mashlim that one word, delo yotzei dei chayvasei. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand this. Udvarim temuim heim be'enai. Why should that not be a fulfillment? Why should it be any worse, you know, writing one word from a Sefer Torah that you receive birusha from the case of buying a Sefer Torah and adding one word? And being mashlim, there shouldn't be any difference. I say, im noshim chayavois b'chsiva Sefer Torah einu v'vur b'poiskim, this is not so clear. So he writes, it's not double clear. V'echad me'agdolim kotav shechayavois the ksiva sefer Torah ain't a tolim b'talmud Torah she mitzvah b'fnei atzmai. It's not told in Talmud Torah. It's a mitzvah by itself. So he wants to suggest an incredible chiddush that a woman can be a sofer. When it comes to tefillin, we know a woman cannot write tefillin because tefillin is v'limadet ha'masam es b'nechem. They're not chayiv in wearing tefillin. The women are not chayiv in wearing tefillin. B'neichem v'loy b'noyseichem. So if a woman cannot, is not chiv in the midst of tooth. It's a mitzvah sase shazman groma. Inisha's potter from tefillin. If you're potter from the mitzvah, mamela, you cannot be the one who writes the tefillin. But writing a sefer Torah is not holiness. It's a mitzvah sase shazman groma. It says in the Torah, v'yata kisvu lechem es hashira hazois. That includes men and women. You want to say that the purpose of writing a Sefer Torah is to learn what it says in the Sefer Torah. And Noshim Apotah from Talmud Torah, V'limadetem osam es b'neichem, b'neichem lo b'noseichem, that's not so simple. Some Rishonim learn that the writing of the Sefer Torah has nothing to do with the mitzvah of learning the Sefer Torah. And that would be Mechayiv Noshim to Mechayim the mitzvah equal to men. And that means that Achnosa Sefer Torah, you will let women also put a letter in the Sefer Torah. This you've never seen. Megillah is all part of. I'm not sure. Megillah might be different. Afhein hayu ba'isahanes. Megillah might be different. I don't know. Mezuzah. So the Gemara, you're asking a very good question because the Mezuzah Gemara says that noshim boy chai, they need life. You're asking a very good question. Why can a woman write a mezuzah? Because the mezuzah is for arichas yomim, and the Gemara explicitly says they have a home, they have an obligation to affix a mezuzah to their home. So you're asking the question, they should be permitted to write a mezuzah. I don't know the answer. Maybe we'll come across that. Aksuba? Aksuba has nothing with a woman. Aksuba is a one-way document. Aksuba is an obligation of a man to a wife. A woman does not sign the ksuba. You've never seen at a wedding that a woman was... Yeah, ksuba does not be written on parchment. Ksuba can be written on paper. Ksuba can be printed. You know, ksuba is just a legal document. It's not a davar shebe kedusha. Ksuba is just like a printed document. Next, v'raya bruto lezed in what? A get has to be written on parchment. A get has to be written on parchment. It has to, but not necessarily. It has to be written. These are minhagim. 12 rows. Those are 22 rows. Okay, let's say further. V'raya bruto lezed diem hamitzvah havi rak mishum de talmud Torah lama ena yoytze b'sefer Torah shemichle aviv. Why would it not be good if the mitzvah was? What's the proof that the writing of a Sefer Torah has nothing to do with Talmud Torah? If the mitzvah had to do with Talmud Torah, then there would be no obligation to write a Sefer Torah if you receive one b'Yerusha. Because I need a Sefer Torah to learn in the Sefer Torah. So if a person has received the Sefer Torah b'Yerusha, you have the opportunity to learn what it says in the Sefer Torah. There will be no need to write. The fact that the Torah demands that you write your own Sefer Torah indicates that it's not a matter of Talmud Torah. Because anyone can learn Torah. Obviously, it's an independent mitzvah. If indeed it's an independent mitzvah, so why should a woman be any different than a man? It's not holy. You'll tell me the reason why they're exempt is because they have no obligation to fulfill every mitzvah in the Torah. There are many mitzvahs from which they are exempt. So you can say that apply that logic to every human being. Yisrael is not chayiv in the mitzvahs that apply to Kohanim. You'll tell me that they're not allowed to write a Sefer Torah, like we'll explain later on other reasons. So at least they should commission. So just because maybe you'll find the reason why they're not allowed to write, is going to explain later on, they can't write, but at least they should be mechuyev to purchase, be mechuyev to commission someone to write on their behalf. Ela shegzeres ha-Torah hi ve'ein inyan ze lezeh. That's a special, the writing and the acquiring have nothing to do with one another. So we're back with the question. We're back with the question, why then don't women write a Sefer Torah? So to answer this question, we're going to keep you in suspense until tomorrow. In suspense until tomorrow. Why don't women have a mitzvah to write Sefer Torah? So go to the mikvah. Men also have to go to the mikvah. The man also has to go to the mikveh every time he writes. A man has to go to the mikveh every day. A woman only has to go once a month. It's easier. For 2 weeks, she won't write.